I don't know if the Lord's speaking to my heart about a meeting, or if He is planning on sending revival, or if He just wants me to bring a message or two on revival to keep us refreshed and our hearts in tune with what God's trying to do, I believe, in our church and in our life. And I'll be very brief this morning. In fact, what I've got is so pitiful, it couldn't be nothing but brief. And what I want to preach tonight in the service, I preached it several years ago, and I've preached it a number of times since then. In fact, I've preached it here maybe once or twice right here in this church. But God has so burdened my heart that I cannot get away from that thought and those that outline and the words of it and some of the truths that are in it. And some of you have heard it probably, and some of you haven't. And I want to try to bring that thought to you tonight. On revival, in Psalm 85 and verse 6, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Now, I may not do any more. I just about preached myself out in Sunday school. I think it's been a long trip, a little lost tire. But I will try to give you what God's given me this morning. And this is not by any means all I'm going to do in this psalm, but I want to look at some thoughts today in Psalm number 40. So if you'll turn your Bibles to Psalm number 40. These water carriers around here putting that on the job. I may need a little more water. I tell you, get to preaching. Hello, Brother Johnny. How you doing, buddy?
All right.
I'm seeing you on Tuesday, son. But I tell you, it's good to be saved today.
Amen. Amen.
I want to try to bring what God laid upon my heart in the morning hour, okay? Psalm number 40, and when you find that place, if you will stand, while we'll read the text together. David said in verse number 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a marble pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God.
Amen.
Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust.
Amen.
And respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to utter, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. I preach righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, that thou knowest, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation.
Amen.
I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy. Let them be driven backward and put to the shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward and their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee.
Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified.
Amen.
But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Now may the Lord add his richest blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Our Father, I thank thee for the privilege of being here today. Thank you, Lord, for the good Sunday school life that you allowed us to have, the good joy that filled my heart and the men. Lord, thank you for thy word, and thank you for the good singing here in the preaching hour. I pray now that you'll take your word and make it a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. Lord, that you'll touch our spirit this morning by your power, by your grace, by your mercy, and help us this morning. I pray, Lord, you'll meet the need of every heart. Lord, that one that's discouraged, that you'll bless. That one, Lord, that's in sin, that you'll reprove. That one, Lord, that's struggling, that you'll give grace to. I pray, Lord, for that family, that soul that's lost and without God, that you'll save them today. And may your wonderful name today be magnified in our midst. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise you and to thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now. And you may be seated. I want to try to take these words this morning that I read, and I won't preach long, and try to preach for a little while on the thought, after the pit. After the pit. Now this psalm, as we read through a church, it has glimpses of both of David and of our Lord. There's no doubt in verses 6, 7, 8, and 9, David has to be referring there to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because these words in verses 6 and 7 were repeated by the Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews when speaking about our Lord and his high priestly work and his intercessory work as he came to die and give his life a ransom for the souls of men. And surely verses 9 and 10 are in reference. Are in reference to our Lord's earthly ministry. He came to preach righteousness in the great congregation. And by the way, our Lord did not refrain his lips. In other words, he didn't hold anything back. You know, we have got a society today, church, that wants the preacher to preach flowery messages that will tickle their fancy, but they do not want him to preach against sin or preach against their own personal problems and sin. And I tell you, preachers worth his salt will not refrain his lips, but he will preach the whole counsel of God. It's like Peter and John said, when they were scolded for preaching in Jesus' name, they said, how can we but preach what God has told us to? They said, we'd rather obey him than to obey man. But I tell you, we've got a crowd of people today that are ear ticklers. And that's right. And we've got churches that enjoy having their ears tickled. But one thing I find out in our Lord's ministry, if it came time to comfort somebody, he did that. And when it came time to correct somebody, he did that likewise. When it came time to preach the gospel that sinners might be converted, he did that likewise. In other words, he did not refrain his lips. He did not hide the righteousness of God. If you read chapter 1 of the book of Romans, you'll find there that Paul speaks about those who hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. That is, they know the truth of the Word of God, but they hold it in unrighteousness. But I tell you, the psalm this morning, rather than looking at it in the light of our Lord, I want to look at these verses in view of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, and look at him as a lost man is, and that man being far from God and being saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
You know, I believe today that many of God's people have gotten the idea that when they're saved, their Christian life just simply drops there, and you know, that's all there is to it. I want to say to you this morning that there is a life to live after the pit. If you read in these verses, you find that God brought David up out of a horrible pit. But friend, hey, he didn't leave him standing on the brink of that pit. He established his goings and put a song in his heart and sent David on his merry way, rejoicing in God and living for the honor and the glory of Almighty God. You know, Paul speaks about this in the book of Hebrews when he said that we as God's children ought to go on unto perfection. Amen. He said, you are dull of hearing. Said, I've got some things I'd like to say about Melchizedek, but he said, they're hard to say because you are dull of hearing. He said in chapter 6 and verse 1 that we ought to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ and go on unto perfection. I want to say I really believe it's time that we quit rolling around in the sand by the edge of the water and wade out into the water and let our nets down for a draught, get in over our head where we can enjoy the grace of God and what God worked on our behalf. Just go on unto maturity and live for the glory and honor of God. Now, don't nobody leave me. I'll try to preach a little while if I may. I want us to look, first of all, at David's situation. The Bible said there that he waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. David said he brought me up out of a horrible pit. Hey, that's exactly where you were when God found you. Somebody said, oh no, preacher, I was sailing along pretty good when God found me. I want to say to you that you probably need to get saved by the grace of Almighty God this morning. But when God found old Brother Hall, my life was ruined. My home was almost destroyed. My marriage was on the threshold of being dissolved. My life was going down the tube. But I'm glad, thank God, when Jesus found me, he took away my life and gave me his life and a hope of glory in my heart. He didn't point me back to the old way that I was living, but he set my feet on a rock and took me fairly down the road, rejoicing in God and singing the praises of the Lord because he had lifted me up out of a horrible pit. His situation. He was in a horrible pit. In fact, the Bible said that he was in a miry clay. Hey, he was in a situation where he could not get himself out of. Hey, that's how God saves the sinner, and that's when God saves the sinner, is when he hems a man up, or hems a woman up, and gets them into a place where they realize that they're beyond the help of mortal man, beyond their own ability to help themselves, and must rely upon the help of God to get them out. Old Brother David said, hey, he said, I waited patiently on the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes it ain't easy to wait. Son, when you're standing in a pit, and you're standing in clay, in miry clay, and you feel that clay oozing up around your loins, and you feel that clay oozing up around your belly button, and it ain't long when it's up under your armpit, it ain't easy to stand there in the clay and wait on God. But I'm telling you, that's the only way a sinner will ever get saved, is to wait patiently on God until God hears their cry and brings them out. You try to get out on your own and make a profession of faith without God bringing you out, you'll wind up no more than a religious hypocrite sitting on the church pew without God and without hope, and it'll be harder than ever to get you saved.
Yes. Amen.
His situation, he was in a horrible pit. He was in a horrible pit. Yes, sir. I don't know about you, but I've never seen any pits that had one bit of light in them. David was in that pit in a place of darkness, sitting in darkness. That's where a sinner's at. Like blind Bartimaeus by the roadside, they're sitting in darkness. Amen. I've got news for you, friend. Somebody said, well, I'm glad I made my way to the light. If I understand this psalm correctly, David didn't make his way to the light. The light made his way to David. I'm head right. He said, I've been in a horrible pit. I've been in a horrible pit.
descend from his heavenly portal all the way to the pit where you are and lift you out by the grace of God.
Yes, sir. Sitting in darkness.
Yes,
no light. And he couldn't get to the light, but the light came to him.
Yes.
Aren't you so glad that Jesus came to where you were?
Yes.
He came to me like the songwriter said. He came to me. I could not come to where it was, but thanks be unto God, he came to me.
Yes.
Oh, I was stuck in a miry clay, down in a horrible pit, all the way up to my loins, found no way of escape, had no light, couldn't reach the top, couldn't see out, couldn't see my right hand or my left hand, couldn't see my finger, but light sprang out of darkness, hallelujah to God, like the light sprang out of the broken jail, and rolling out of the jail, and let the light sprang out into the pit where I was, and brought me out by the marvelous grace of God. He's in darkness. His situation. I'm a trying to. I'm a little tired in body, but I'm a giving her the best I got.
Yes.
He was in darkness. I want to say his situation. Not only was he in darkness in the pit, but he was in distress.
Amen.
In the miry clay.
God.
Hey, you ever been there?
Amen.
I remember old brother Mike Moody. One day was telling me, he said, "Preacher," he said, "that psalm holds something special for me." And I said, "Well," I said, "what do you mean?" He said, "I'll never forget some years back. I don't know how long ago it was." He said, "We was down at I believe the Kentucky Lake, or might have been maybe the other lake down there." And said, "We was trying to do some fishing." And he said, "I just wanted to walk out on this little, look like a sand dune, and do a little fishing out there." He said, "I didn't realize that that's where the water had been and had been carried away." And he said, "It just left a little pit there." He said, "I walked out into that place, and before I realized it," he said, "I was in quicksand. It was quicksand." And he said, "It began I began to settle down inside that quicksand." He said, "My body began, Brother Mike's got a big body to get down there." Amen. He said, "Praise God." He said, "My weight began to carry me down into the sand." And he said, "The more I struggled," he said, "the deeper I went." I'm telling you, that's where I've been at this morning. The more you struggle and try to get free and deeper, you get into the pit and you'll never get out until God, in mercy, comes to where you are and lifts you out of your distress and misery and puts your feet on the solid ground. Brother Mike said, "The more I struggled, the deeper I got." And he said, "The deeeper I got," he said, "I don't know the book, I'm not very smart." He said, "The scarier I got." In other words, bless God, he was getting scared. He was afraid of sinking all the way under. Somebody said, "Oh, Brother Hall, I've never been there." Then you've never been saved.
Right.
I'm telling you, when God come to where I was, I realized I was going down. And there was nothing under my feet but it to hold me up. And I knew if God didn't come down in that pit where I was, then I'd sink out of sight in the distress and the despondency forever without God and without me. I forget who it was, maybe Jason. He said he kept throwing a rope or something out. Threw something out, a grapevine or something. What was it, Jason? You remember? And said, anyway, he said, "Finally I got it." And they hung on to it and said, "I begin to pull." And he said, "It wasn't easy to pull." I'm going to tell you, it ain't always easier to get a sinner out of that pit.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. You know what? Because of your depravity, you're like that blackbird in the book of Genesis. You like the scum you're living in.
Amen.
Yeah, you like the stench. You like the stench of corruption. You like the smell of corruption. I mean, you still like dance floors and theater houses and Hollywood and basketball, all that kind of thing. That's because you've never been brought out of the pit. That's why you still in rust with the pit already there. Hallelujah! He brought me out of the miry clay, thank God. Set my feet on the heavenly way. Hallelujah. The more I struggled, the deeper I got. And that's right, Brother Jerry. Thank God, I'm glad you're here. You've got to get off Tuesday night, son.
I'll work on it, hallelujah.
You work on it. I got to have you back in here.
Praise
God.
Come on, break the bread.
let that influence rub off on some of this crowd.
That's mine. Yes, sir.
You know why you act that way?
Hello,
I'm going to tell you, hey, Brother Jerry, how far down were you now when God broke you out?
365
feet. Woo! Woo! Were you in darkness? Down in that coal mine. I'm telling you, yeah, your heart was dark, no doubt about it. Hallelujah, man, that there, read that old Bible, you brought to somebody else. Lord, and God, I might come on, down in that mind, fast, and pray, and God lifted you out by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Thanks be unto God. What a situation to me. He found himself in a situation in darkness and distress, but I'm telling you, he found himself doomed.
Yeah.
No way of getting out. No way of getting out.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, there's not a sinner living that ever reached down and pulled himself up by his own bootstraps. Let's see you try. Reach down this morning and lift yourself up.
Come on,
you can't do it.
Right.
You don't have the power.
Right.
No church. When salvation is of the Lord. Somebody said, well, old brother Bob Lamb saved me. That's about what I hear all over Madisonville. Bob Lamb saved me. Bob Lamb saved me. I'd say Bob Lamb probably needs to get saved. Let's bless saving somebody else. I'm going to say who will save you. The Lord. But if an old Jonah was laying dead in the belly of the whale and seaweed wrapped around his neck, he realized he was in darkness and distress and was doomed, and he cried unto the Lord and realized that salvation was in the Lord. Somebody said, why did whale save me? No, God said, whale, spit out Jonah. Look here. There's the pit Jonah was in, down in the belly of the whale. Which way do you think the Lord spit him out? He didn't spit him back that way, buddy. He spit him on dry ground. And he hit the ground to rub it. And just like David said, he began to preach to the Ninevites. Judgment is a coming! Judgment is a coming! You know what they done? They repented! That's right. See his situation, then we see his salvation. His salvation. Look what he said. In verse 2, he brought me up. Brought me up. Hey, folks, everybody look up here. There ain't but one way for a sinner to go in. You can't get any lower. He brought me up. He elevated me. He brought me up. He said, also, out of the horrible pit. He elevated me. Look here, somebody said, boy, I'm glad he lifted me up out of the pit. But honey, you've done this at all. He didn't just elevate you out of the pit and let your feet stand here on the, what's the word, on the brink of that pit. No. He lifted you up. Get this now. In the heavenly places. You far, hey, you descended up far above this earth when God lifted you out. He lifted you out of the heavenly places and then set you right down beside Jesus in the same place. May my heart magnify the Lord. Thank God, after the pit, but if you're going in there, there's some things after the pit that God called us out for. He elevated us. And when he elevated, get a hold of us now, he emancipated. He set me free from slavery. I was a slave to sin. You were a slave to sin. And a slave to the flesh. I wasn't like that. Some of you probably still are. You're walking according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. But I tell you, when God brought me out of that pit, son, he emancipated me. He set me free from the slave market of sin. Hallelujah to God. And he established my going. And if he
Johnson. That means I must be living in enough liberty, Brother Johnny, that I can get up and walk around in God.
Yes.
Some time ago, and the preacher got up preaching. He did not believe what he was preaching. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not saying this ugly. He just flat didn't believe. He was preaching truth, but he didn't believe it. He didn't believe what he was saying. I don't understand that, how a man could preach something as truth and not believe what he's preaching, but says he does believe it. He said there was this man who owned a big plantation was going to sell off some slaves. And he said he come to this one man and said, "This is a tremendous slave." Said he's make anybody in here a good man. Said he'll make you a good slave. He'll do that. He can read English. He can write. He can do this. Said he'll make you a good slave. And the bid has started, blah, 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 and then it stopped. All at once the man in the back said, "I pay so much," and nobody else bid. And the man bought the man. The man in the back bought the slave. A little while he brought out a woman. He said, "Now we don't care whether these slaves stay together. We don't care nothing about their family." Hey, that's exactly how the devil is. He don't care whether your family stays together. He doesn't care nothing about your life. He cares nothing about you at all.
Said,
"We don't care nothing about this family, whether they stay together or they don't." But said, "This is the wife of that black man." Said, "Oh, yeah." Said, she also reads English. Said, "She run the whole house. She took care of this man's house. And run the whole house, spoke English, read and write, said she'd make somebody a good slave." And the bidding started, it went up high. Everybody quit bidding, and there one more time was that man in the back. He said, "I bid so much, nobody bid against him." So he bought that woman. In a few minutes, they brought up a little old baby, little boy. He said, "We don't care if this family stays together or not," but said, "This is the son of that man and that woman." And said, "Oh," said, "he'd make somebody a good slave when he grows up, good stock, strong." Said, "His mama can teach him to read, he'll make you a good slave." The bidding started. And again the bidding went up and then it stopped. And again the man in the back said, "I pay so much, nobody else bid," and he bought all three of them. Look here. That preacher went on to say that in a little while, he said that man went over to where those slaves were at and said he had their slave papers in there in his hand. And he said, "You belong to me." "Is that right?" "Yes, sir." "Yes, sir. We belong to you. I can do anything with you I want to do." "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." "Hey, folks, I got news for you. If you're saved, you belong to the Lord. He can do with you as he wills, as he wishes, and he don't even have to ask for permission about it."
Amen.
And people said, "That's right. That's right. We're yours. We do whatever you say, and we're yours."
Amen. Preacher.
The man said, "Okay." He said, "Here's what I'm going to do." He said, "These are your slave papers, right?" "Right." He said, "These are your slave papers." He said, "Here's what I'm going to do with them." The man got a match out of his pocket, struck a match. And he burnt those papers. That those papers, folks, were what held them in bondage. Are you hearing me? They made them a slave. You know what papers made you a slave as a sinner? The law of sin. Do you know what Jesus done to the law of sin? He took our sin upon him. And look here. Like a little honeybee, you know, Paul said the strength of sin. How did it go? I can't get it right there in Corinthians. But he talks about the sting of death. Amen. He talks about, hey, that little honeybee put that stinger right in a man. If a honeybee puts a stinger in a man, it'll pull the stinger out of him and the little honeybee will die. Are you hearing me? The sting of sin stuck its stinger in the Lord and sin died.
Yes. 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 Yes.
fellow said, okay, here's what I'm going to do to you. He said, I'm going to burn up these papers. He said, I can do with you whatever. I said, these are slave papers. He said, I'm going to burn them up. He said, that preacher now said, man, burn up those papers, dropped them on the ground, and took the ashes and just stuffed them and scuffed them. And he said, that's exactly what the Lord did for us. And said, and then he said, all at once, he said, he looked over at those slaves and said, he told them, said, you're free to go. Get out of here and go. And they said, no. Said, you bought us and loved us and bought us. And said, we'll never leave you. We want to be your slave now and serve you. Hey, that's exactly, church. That's exactly the way it is when we're brought out of the kingdom. We were a slave to sin, but now we're a bond servant of Christ. And that man said, okay. Said, you can stay with me now. Now look here. But that same fella will turn right around and tell you that you can lose your salvation.
Yeah.
I want you to tell me something. Where's the man? If a man burnt the stinking papers,
right.
If Christ burned our slave papers,
yeah.
Where's the man
that'll
hunt up the ashes in the dust and put them back together again and bring me back into bondage?
Right.
Oh, he,
yes, yes.
The Son,
yes.
Free. You be free indeed. Are you the one? Hey, God, I've been emancipated. I've been emancipated. I'm going out of my heart.
Yes.
Oh,
thank God.
Yes. Look here.
Hey.
We find his situation. We find his salvation. But what about after the pit?
Right.
Does life stop there? Didn't stop there for David.
No,
David said he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and he has put a new song in my mouth.
Amen.
Even praise unto our God.
Amen.
Many shall see it in fear, many shall trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Are you listening to me this morning? What about after the pit?
Right.
Thank God we can look back at our situation and rejoice.
Amen.
We can look to our salvation and say, amen.
Amen.
But what about now?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
After the pit. I ain't got the three little things. They puny. May I say, after the pit. That is, after the situation that was hopeless. And after the salvation that helped us.
Right.
What about then? He said that he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Look here. You know what the first thing Jesus does to a sinner when he saves him? First thing. Didn't he set his feet on a rock? That's the first thing he does, folks. In other words, he stabilizes them.
Right.
Come on, you dog. Hey! I've never seen an island we're living in when folks are so weak and white day. Hot, cold, up, down, in, out. Here today, going tomorrow, faithful today, unfaithful tomorrow. Got confidence in God today, doubting God tomorrow. Thinking they're saved today, going they're saved tomorrow. That's where they ever was saved in every place. Son, I'm telling you, when God saves a man, he set his feet on a rock. Stabilized. Oh, what stability. Thanks be unto God. Not like a double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways. Pete James talks about that faith. Of a double-minded man, said, man, let him ask for wisdom. Let him ask for wisdom in faith. Nothing doubting.
Right.
Or else you'll be like a double-minded man that's unstable in all of his ways.
Right.
I don't mean to throw any crock on your theology, neighbor. But double-minded there means two-spirited.
Right.
In other words, that man's trying to live both lives.
Amen.
He's trying to live for God, but yet he's entangled in the world.
Amen.
And he can't get out. Somebody said, what's his problem? He's still never been saved.
Amen.
He's lost.
Amen.
On the authority of the Word of God.
Amen.
He's lost. He's double-minded. He's two-spirited. He don't know right from wrong, light from dark, death from light. He's still in his sin, still in the pit.
Yes, sir.
somebody said, do you know you're saved?
Well, I know who
yes,
I have believed in and am persuaded
yes,
that he is able to keep that which I yes, committed unto him against that day.
Amen.
What have you committed to him?
I
committed him my eternal spirit.
Amen.
My whole soul.
Yes,
by the way, my body too.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, church, this. God told me this a long time ago, and he confirmed it coming home from Mexico. I really believe that I'm going to have to endure a lot of physical suffering before I leave this world. I'm going to tell you why. I've preached on suffering a lot. And a man will live what he has to preach. And a lot of times, God will lead a man to preach that the man might be able to live it when the time comes. And I've preached more than anybody I know on suffering saints. And they come today, I will believe, no, I'm going to have to live it. I'm going to have to live it. But I've got news for you and for the devil that my spirit has been committed unto him.
Amen.
This body from ashes to ashes and dust to dust, let it be what may, let come what may. For I know that he doeth all things well.
Yes.
And I know if the skin worms destroy this flesh.
Yes.
I see the Lord.
Amen.
What a God.
Amen.
I've committed my spirit to him. I've committed my soul. I've committed this body. It is.
Amen. Right.
Had a Mexican fella in Mexico. That a fella, right after the conference last year, he was shot twice. The fellow rode up to him, and the guy was feeding goats. He said, I don't like your goats over here. He said, they stink. And the man tried to avoid an encounter. He said, well, I'm sorry. He said, I don't know what to do with my goats. They'll die if I don't feed them. And so he turned around and walked off, and he heard something turn around. There was a fellow on a horse. He took a gun and just shot him twice. One of them hit him in the shoulder. The other one went in his lungs and lodged in one of his lungs. And the man crawled for a mile. He passed out and recovered. Passed out and recovered. Passed out and recovered. And he got up testifying down there the other night, and he said, my life is in the hands of Jesus.
Amen.
He owns me. He's never made a mistake. He said, if I died on a desert floor with my face in the sand, so be it, I'm his.
Yes.
He said, if I live another 100 years to tell the story of his amazing grace and how he saved me,
yes,
then I'm his, so
woo,
be it,
man.
So be it, so be
yes,
it.
Yes.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? Hallelujah to God.
Yes.
After the pit. After the pit comes stability.
Yes.
Not talked about with every wind of doctrine. Some of you in here don't know what you believe and why you believe it.
Yes.
And I've done my best to preach doctrine to you.
Preach.
And you don't know why you believe what you believe.
Yes.
Some of you say, well, I know I'm never going to lose my salvation, but you can't go to the book and tell me why. Well, I'm justified, but you can't go to the book and tell me why. Some of you are still wondering, whether speaking in tongues is right, whether speaking in tongues is right.
Yes.
Some of you still wonder whether a man can lose it or whether a man can't lose it. Some of you still wonder about the church. Is it universal and invisible, or is it local and visible? By God, I've never seen so much instability in my life.
Amen.
Look here, and I don't mean to be ugly, but I'm just telling you a fact. I can take that Bible, and if you've got an open mind, I can sit down in 30 minutes and by the Bible prove to you why tongues are no more.
That's right.
And I can prove to you by the Scripture why Paul was not encouraging tongues, he was reproving them.
That's right. Amen.
He was rebuking them. I can prove it to you.
That's right.
By comparing Scripture with Scripture. I'm telling you, there's people that call themselves Baptists that still are so insecure and unstable that they don't know what they believe and why they believe it.
Right.
Boy, they got quiet.
Amen.
We're doing real well now when we're in the pit and getting out.
Amen.
Cutting them down now.
Amen. That's right.
Look here. Where should we be stabilized at? Stability. He's set by feet on a rock.
Amen.
I would say, number one, we ought to be stable in our heart. It said in Psalm, 57:7, David said, my heart is fixed, O God.
Amen.
My heart is fixed.
Amen.
I will sing and give praise.
Yes.
God, I'm telling you, we need some Baptists whose heart is just fixed
yes,
before God.
Amen.
Unmovable. always abounding in the work of God. Hey, folks, God cannot use a church that is unstable like Reuben. God is looking for some people that will anchor their souls in the grace of God.
Yes.
Study that Bible. Learn the doctrines of that Bible. Believe what it teaches and know why they believe it. And stand against the devil.
Amen.
Against sin.
That's right.
Against the world.
Amen.
Some folks have not had their exercise, their senses exercised, that they might discern both good and evil.
Amen.
That's why folks can't make up their mind whether worldly pleasures is right or wrong. That's why folks can't make up their mind whether it's right to watch the wildcats or it's wrong to watch the wildcats.
Right.
They don't have their senses exercised, buddy, to discern right from wrong.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. You can slip on a pair of shorts, bless your heart, and run out in the crowd.
Right.
And show off your limbs and your legs and tell me that it's not sinful, go ahead and have that, and I'll call you a class A heathen.
Right.
If you can go out and desecrate God's day and play baseball and basketball on Sunday or be a sympathizer with those that do, I'll call you a heathen.
Right.
When I was in Vietnam, we had over there what was called sympathizers to the Viet Cong. They never carried a gun. They wouldn't harm a hair on your head. I mean, they, buddy, if you went through their little old village, they'd just smile at you and they'd say, oh, you're getting shot down, you're getting shot down, you're getting, they'd give them food and they'd say, oh, GI number one, GI number one, GI number one, good GI number one, number one. But I'm going to tell you 5 minutes later, when Charlie comes through the couch, you know what they done? Oh, DC number one, DC number one. You're going to tell, you know what? They were playing both sides of the field. Unstable, didn't know right from wrong. Their heart was full of sin. And this is, I'm telling you, buddy, a man whose heart is not fit before God is unstable before God.
Amen.
Feet put on that rock.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your heart ought to be stable.
Yes, sir.
Then in Psalm 112, verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings.
Amen.
His heart is fixed. Resting in the Lord.
Yeah.
Hey, every time somebody groans wrong, does it just? I got laughing. I got to tell you this off the subject. Maybe it'll loosen some of you up a little bit.
Yeah.
Where's that? Down in Mexico this time, little old fella back down there, he's a little old boy in the little place, big fella, kind of was a young boy in the Bible Institute, named Fernando. And on Wednesday night, I was going to preach, and I come in, and I noticed him sitting over. Son, he had on a 3-piece suit. I mean, he's ready. He was ready. That morning, brother. I mean, he's ready. I walked up, I said, hey, hermano, boy, is that? He said, hermano, boy. He said, ready, God, en la noche, mañana. Uno, first time, ready, God. I said, okay. He said, yo. In other words, he said, I'm scared half to death. Well, it's good to have some fear when it comes to preaching. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But when evil tidings come, my heart is fixed.
Amen.
Hey, I'm telling you, evil tidings should not shake our faith in God.
Amen.
If we believe the Bible, believe Romans 8:28, that's not always easy to do, but Romans 8:28 says all things work together for our good and love, Lord, and are called to for us.
Yes.
To his purpose.
Amen.
When he saved you, friend, he's got a purpose for your life.
Amen.
And if he did, when he set your feet on that rock and pointed you in the right direction, stabilize you. I'll tell you, our heart ought to be fixed, stabilized, and our home ought to be stabilized.
Amen.
Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, but it's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord.
Amen.
He looked at that bunch of Israelites and he said, hey. He said, our fathers said, God brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, into this land of the heathen. And said, you need to choose you this day who you're going to serve. The heathen's God or the God of glory that delivered you. Whichever one you choose, Joshua said, it ain't going to shake my faith and I order as for me and my house.
Amen.
We will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to say this. I hope to God every one of you follow God. I hope you don't wobble on that.
Amen.
I hope you don't wobble a bit on that. I hope you stand up, bless God like a
true, straight arrow for God to march on. But I'm telling you right now, if the whole crowd of you quits tomorrow, I'm going to serve God.
Amen.
You ain't going to shake me on that. Somebody said, oh, what if the world gets sinful? Bless God, I'm still going to serve God.
Amen.
What if things get hard? I'm still going to serve Him.
Amen.
What if you run out of money? I'm still going to serve Him.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. If it takes good things and money and all that for you to serve God, you ain't got much.
Amen.
All to the love of God, Christ can strengthen us.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to tell you, some of you out there, if you don't get your home saved, you're going to lose your kids.
Amen.
They're on their way to hell, buddy.
Amen.
I'm talking about fast. They're going, you can see rebellion all over their face. They despise church.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Oh, Brother Hall, you'd start a young ministry where our kids where they could come and have some fun. God will send them to hell.
Amen.
If preaching will not save them, friend, they'll die and go to hell.
Amen.
You might better get your home stable now. I'll never forget years ago a fella, and I won't even repeat his name because he's a heathen, a reprobate. Give out a tape in the January marathon. Is your home on the rock or on the rocks? Which is yours on this morning?
That's
is it stable? Huh? Don't y'all ain't quitting on me, are you?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something else ought to be stable. Your hope.
Amen.
Our hope. Psalm 43:5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God.
Amen.
Right.
In any condition, any situation, good times, bad times. Now I ain't got time to preach all this message.
Great.
I don't have time for you.
Go ahead.
But his head. After the pit comes stability. Now, this is really going to get some of you because you've died. But after the pit comes a song.
Yes.
Put a song in my mouth.
Yes, amen.
Right?
Even praise unto my God.
Yes.
Do you know what the first thing that Israel did when God brought them across the Red Sea? They had a song.
Amen.
First thing they did was sing a song.
Amen.
Hey. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about getting up here in the choir and singing. I know a lot of people singing in the choir are lost and going to hell in choirs. I put it like that. I've seen people singing in the choir, but they turned out as lost. It don't necessarily mean sitting at that piano or sitting over saying, oh, I'm saved and praising God and got a song in my heart. Because I sing in space, I don't cut a bit of ice with me.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, you can sit on the pew and never utter a word and still have a song.
Amen. Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
A song. A song in the night. Nobody listened then.
Right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Then David said he gave me a song. When they come across the Red Sea, the first thing is I turn around and look at their victory. David turns around and looks at his elevating and emancipation, and God gave him a song. When Israel come across the Red Sea and looked back and saw the host of Pharaoh drown in the sea, God gave him a song. But now look here. Look here. What about after the pit? Brother Jerry Reese preached this, and I'm telling you, it's as good as anything I've ever heard. He said in that next chapter, and he went over that next chapter, in chapter 16, or chapter 15, when they, after they sang that song, said they just got done singing the song and had all that. I'm talking about after the pit. And after they just got done singing the song, you know what happened to them? They come to a place where there was no water. That's where some of y'all is at right now. Oh, it was good. For about a year or two, you just shouted and praised God. And had
yeah,
I mean, you was excited about serving God. You thought it was going to be sweet like that forever. But all at once, the water ran out. Brother, I never seen that, Brother Reed. Hey, the water ran out. And hey, somebody said, Brother Hall, it was their own fault. Oh, no, God led them that way. God intentionally dried up the water. Hey. To prove to them that they must rely on Him.
Amen.
Amen, preacher.
Then after they found no water, then they found water. Oh, hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Brother Hall's, but it was bitter water. Brother Hall's preaching is so wonderful until he blessed your hide.
Oh! And then the water gets bitter.
Boy, I remember when he used to just preach the gospel. Preacher's going to just preach the gospel. There's a whole lot more than the gospel.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right, preacher.
What do you think they took bitter herbs with that sacrifice? But God wants to teach them, friend, that there is a bitter way to carry the cross for God.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. So they tasted there was a water bitter. Somebody said, well, that's the end of the line. No water, now water, but it's bitter. What do we do now? I'm going to tell you what you do. You cut down a tree. And you throw the tree in, and you find that the bitter water is made sweet.
Amen.
That which you thought was bad is just as sweet as sugar. And then later on, after the pit in this journey, God will bring you to 12 springs and 70 palm trees. Plenty of water.
Amen.
Plenty of shade and plenty of water.
Amen.
Hey, isn't that what Brother Peter said? That after you have suffered for a while, that God will strengthen, settle, and establish you.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
No water, bitter water. Bitter water made sweet, and now God led me into a place where I can sit down under a palm tree, sit and drink all the water I want.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, I'm living there right now.
Yeah.
Somebody said, what is them 70 palm trees and 12 wells? I'm glad you asked. For I'm dwelling in beautiful land.
Yeah.
I'm living on a mountain underneath a cloudless sky.
Praise God.
I'm a drinking. Y'all better wake up. From a fountain that never shall run dry. Never shall. Yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. Why, Brother Hall? For I'm dwelling in Beulah land. Get across the river. But it's a bitter path to get there. But get across.
Amen.
What are you on?
Hallelujah.
There's a song. There's a song. Hey, look here. But here's what I want to get to on that song. And I'm trying to hurry. Believe me, sure. Hey, look here. He said he'll put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Here's the point I wanted to make. Many shall see it.
That's it.
And fear. And shall trust in the Lord. He said three words there. See, fear, and trust. And what's going to make them? Fear and trust. And they see. You know what I think he's saying there? That after the pit, folks, there comes an influence on the sinner man.
Right. Amen.
Our life. Are y'all even went to sleep on me that way? Slowed down and preaching. But I'm still in some good Bible if you'll get it.
Right.
Hey, look here. After the pit, we ought to be an influence to somebody around us.
Amen.
I'll never forget. Somebody said, well, you influence the wrong way and you're making people mad. I'll never forget the first time, the only time, that I went to the barber shop with Brother Ricky over. Them fellas started in there carrying on about religion, and the fellow went to cut my hair. And I sat there real calm. Just simply said, I'm glad, thank God. Say, just say, beat me
down. Amen.
Not proceeded to rebuke just a tad bit of their sin. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, you can't be an influence to people like that. I'm going to tell you something right now, Buckwheat. You cannot be an influence on a lost man by being a lost man yourself.
Amen.
How are you going to influence anybody that's a beer drinker drinking beer with? Hey, that happened to the Bourbon Street preacher. He said, I'm going down here on Bourbon Street and go into bars and preach to the whores and the drunks down on Bourbon Street. And you know what he's doing now? He's chasing whores and bars.
That's right. Amen.
That's right. Influence on sinners. Ought to be an influence, hey, to say, how many of y'all have influence somebody around you? You ought to be an influence on your children.
That's right. Preacher.
After the pit. See some of you getting restless?
Preacher.
Hey, after the pit, there's stability, and after the pit, there's a song. Notice in verse 4, and I'm trying to close. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lie. After the pit, church, there's separation, and that's exactly what that is.
Amen.
Respecteth not the proud. You go ahead and run with that proud.
Amen.
You just go ahead and rub shoulders with it. I'm telling you, it will not be long, my friend. It won't be long. You run with that with the dogs, and you'll be scratching the same stinking fleas they're scratching.
That's right.
Hey, I'm just being honest with you. And I'm not trying to be ugly, but there was a family left this church not long ago and left this church. And one of their biggest problems was that every Saturday they had to rub shoulders with a beer-drinking crowd.
Right.
They couldn't get away from that crowd. Every Saturday they was there rubbing shoulders with drunks. And running and carousing with drunks and cigarette smokers and women in prison. Hey, you can't do that.
Amen.
You ain't going to win that crowd by fellowship with that crowd.
Amen.
Buddy, you have to come out in the monks and be
saved. Amen.
After the pit, they separation. And then notice, and he said down in verse number 6 and having down in verse number 7, he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written to me. In verse number 8, I delight to do thy will, O God.
Amen.
After the pit is service.
Yes, sir, preacher.
Somebody said, well, I'm just going to come and sit on the pew. You're lost.
Amen. Yeah, preacher. Amen.
There's something to do for God.
Amen.
God won't call anybody. Some folks don't do nothing. But God uses them to smile at somebody in the church.
Right.
He uses some people to give them their money.
Right.
He uses other people this and that in different ways, singing the choir, some talent. But God uses us all in some way.
Amen.
The weaker brother and the stronger brother. God uses them somehow in His service. There is not one person in this church the church would benefit by their leaving. We benefit, folks, by finding the will of God and serving God and the will of God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I delight. Somebody said, oh, it's hard on me to do the will of God. I delight, David said, to do thy will.
Amen.
What about it? After the pit? Have you been lifted up out of that horrible pit? Set on that solid
pit? Amen.
And God give you direction for your life. When He saves you, folks, He gives you direction for your life.
Amen.
He did me. He did my family. He did David. And He will you. Let's stand together.